read in the context of the world's unfolding financial crisis, or even in the context of some of the challenges of our own lives, today's scripture might strike you as either the most nonsensical or as the wisest piece of advice you have ever heard. This is Paul writing to the followers of God's way in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. In case you're tempted to think that maybe Paul, who wrote those words, couldn't really have known anything about fear or danger or crisis or suffering, let me remind you that Paul, in his lifetime, was shipwrecked, imprisoned many times, beat up more than once, chased out of town on several occasions, constantly harassed and fiercely criticized. He had no home. He had given up home and status and position in order to travel far and wide with news and stories of Jesus and of God working in his life and in the world. Though Paul was well educated, he was not always well received. As he explained to the Philippians just a few sentences later in this letter, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. The Philippians, in their turn, were not exactly living on easy street. The power of the Roman Empire was very present in Philippi and was quite hostile to this small minority group, this little community of faith gradually becoming known as Christians. Leaders of the church could be and were sometimes arrested and charged with civil disobedience. No laws protected or defended them. They clung to their faith. They clung to their habit of meeting together for worship and for shared meals. They clung to their determination to collect and send funds to help their fellow believers in famine-stricken parts of the world. They clung to all these things on pain of being branded enemies of the state. So they would have been eager recipients of Paul's secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, having plenty and being in need. Knowing this little bit about the writer, the sender, and the receivers of the letter helps to confirm that the exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always is not born of some shallow vision of reality in which life is never anything other than smooth sailing and the sun always shines. It is instead an invitation to remember where your identity and purpose for being come from, and to choose to live your life in a constructive, life-giving manner rather than an angry, hostile, bitter, resentful, or selfish one. Anyone can rejoice when things are going well. Rejoicing in the Lord, even in the midst of grief and difficulty, reveals a much greater grasp of Paul's secret, which he states in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul, having devoted himself to starting and nourishing a whole bunch of different communities of faith, must often have observed what others have also noticed, that living with anxiety, stress, insecurity, and fear rarely bring out the best in us. So Paul is trying to encourage us not to let our spiritual and emotional state be determined by our circumstances, but instead to let our attitude, our demeanor, our behavior be determined by God's great love for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. How would we live if we could really take to heart the nearness of God in all circumstances and all conditions of life? One of the experienced dads in our congregation told me not so long ago that whenever his now adult children call him complaining about hard times or moaning over discouraging news or even telling how sick and crummy they feel, he always asks them the same question. When was the last time you did anything for somebody else? He inquires. It may sound like strong medicine, but the daughters have come to appreciate that question because it calls them back to the truth that our life is meant to be a blessing to others, not just to ourselves. And that things can fall back into perspective. The peace of God can become more real to us when we do reach out to others in a spirit of concern, kindness, service, generosity. They have agreed with their father that they do feel happier, they do feel better when they look beyond their little bubble to the needs of others. According to Paul, one possible strategy for strengthening our ability to rejoice in the Lord rather than despair in the circumstances is to focus on positive attributes, qualities, and models that we find around us. We're fortunate today to have a commendable and colorful example of praiseworthy service to others here in our midst and before our eyes. The Guatemala Mission Project started 15 or 16 years ago when Carol and Dale Conger Cross, residents here of San Diego, wanted to figure out a way to help the indigenous people of Guatemala recover from a brutally repressive era in their recent history. The vision was to be able to help restore dignity and livelihood, community bonds, family well-being. Dale and Carol and a few others traveled to some pretty remote places in Guatemala, and they learned of a small cooperative in one particular vicinity being formed by a group of widows. And this group was in need of sewing machines and a place to work. Sewing machines and a simple building seemed like something that Carol and Dale and their church, the La Mesa United Methodist Church, could provide. And so the mission was born. Over the years since then, visiting teams of volunteers have built community centers, medical clinics, churches, and school classrooms in the highland villages of Guatemala in areas where the Mayan populations are concentrated. These groups have, and this ongoing mission has offered salary support to pastors and to community workers, fuel-efficient ovens placed in homes throughout the region, and perhaps most importantly, scholarships for children and youth to attend their local schools. For future hopes to be realized, young people need to complete their education, but often the families literally do not have the required funds for uniforms, for books, for basic supplies. Even $50 or $100 a year can make the difference of whether a child stays in school or has to drop out and start working in order to contribute to the family's survival. Carol and the other project leaders have established groups within the region that they're serving, local groups, to guide and direct the project priorities. Because, of course, the whole point is to give help that people actually need, help that people actually want and will really improve their lives, rather than imposing some solution cooked up by outsiders who may or may not understand all the dynamics of the situation. Volunteers who come from the U.S. and go to Guatemala on these travel mission projects are introduced to the history and the culture and the traditions of Guatemala through traveling in the country, through sharing in worship with the people who live there, through working side by side with the people in the communities, and getting to hear and listen to their personal stories and testimonies. Funding for all this ongoing work comes in part from donations and in part from the sale of handcrafted items, which are brought from the Guatemalan communities and churches here to churches in the United States to be sold and enjoyed. Those of us who have had the privilege of being on one or more of the project's mission trips have observed a great deal and learned many lessons, including the fact that the ability to rejoice in the Lord is not dependent on the specifics of personal circumstances, but rather on the gifts of God. Things like the breathtaking beauty and majesty of God's creation, or the surprising kindness and ever-persistent hospitality of God's people. I was looking back at my journal from the trip I was on 6 years ago now, and, you know, paging through, and I rediscovered that after about 8 days of this trip, 8 days into the trip, I had come down with an extremely bad cold. Also, I made note of the fact that I was thoroughly tired of several of my traveling companions. And I would have been really glad never to see another can of yellow paint. Nevertheless, I was writing with enthusiasm and gratitude because here I was able to see with my own eyes these amazing green volcanoes, these immeasurably deep waters, these remarkable nighttime stars and lightning storms of Lake Atitlan. Others in the group were being buoyed up to thankfulness and joy by different things, maybe getting to laugh and play with the children, or receiving the gift of a birthday cake made with distinctively local ingredients, or even in one case, being successfully guided to the fireworks stand by friendly faces in spite of a complete inability to speak either Spanish or Quiche. Joy comes to us as a gift from God, as long as we were open to receiving it. The lessons of faith can be quite striking, of course, when one is in an unfamiliar context. However, it's really not necessary to leave home in order to begin to learn to rejoice in the Lord. We can actually begin finding our joy in Christ right here and now, within our own community. Some of you may already have a specific answer to that loving and challenging question, when was the last time you did something for somebody else? Others may be wishing that you had a slightly more satisfactory answer to that question. Either way, a tool has been provided this morning to help you step more fully into the joy of the Lord. It's in today's bulletin. It's a yellow piece of paper. Rejoicing is a decision. It's a decision to respond positively and actively to the love and the grace of God as you've seen it in the world, as you've experienced it in your life, or maybe simply as you've heard it described by others. I invite you to get out this yellow piece of paper that was folded into your program and to fill in a few blanks, maybe make a few check marks. There's a group within our church that's responsible for helping everyone find a way to be joyfully involved in our shared ministry, and that group needs your help in order to discover what would be the most intriguing and exciting avenues for you to serve and participate. Remember, we find joy both in what we give as well as what we receive, and this form encourages you to think about both. In spite of disturbing signs in the world, now is not the time to be overcome by fear. Now is the time to prayerfully and with thanksgiving make our requests be made known to God. As Ron here in a moment at the piano begins to lift a melody of praise, please take some time to write on this paper. And if what you have to say doesn't fit within the format provided, please feel free to use the entirely blank side of the paper. After 2 or 3 minutes, we'll be led in beginning to sing a prayer chorus together. If you're not done writing, just keep writing. That's fine. And when it comes time for the offering, I hope that you will put your joyful response into the plate along with your financial gifts to Christ's ministry through this church. Pencils are provided in the pew racks in front of you there next to the hymnals and the Bibles. You should be able to find one. as you use this piece of paper to share information about yourself and about your dreams with your church family, let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Gracious, eternal, and mighty God, we thank you for sun and fog, warmth and wind, life and breath. We thank you for the joy of smelling ocean air, sipping our morning tea or coffee, touching the hand of a friend, walking or riding out into the day. We thank you for music and song, poetry and story. We thank you for the daily miracle of finding ourselves where we need to be and uncovering connections between ourselves and others. Many people are struggling, Lord, in these trying times, struggling with questions, struggling with their health, with how to make ends meet, with worries for the future, with finding work or food or a safe place to stay. We pray, Lord, that our struggles will never succeed in erasing our joy in your presence. Help us to receive your gifts, even as we ponder what gifts we might share. Help us to walk faithfully and truly in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.